brown, levitating, jeeking, that cheeky's a la hotter car, 54, chasing diamond, runners headed ice band, the big chiller diamond convention, Harlem Buck strut, freezing world heist, Hollywood, Madam Butterfly, let me in your house, a pleasure, from the knuckle swatch, shadow boxes catching black eye blue.
I play the thief, what? Sensations at the Monte Barbie, screaming Chiba, fulfilling pleasures in my castle, blow the smoke out, the Goss of Vegas substitutes, when the Dutch is gone, the load don't stop, give me shouts, it's the season, sauteers, two flayers for swerving no corners, we madness to moolah, living with Charlie's Angels on this, no smiling when sliding, that gets you caught up in the octa or dead if we're moving, it's just like that as we proceed.
Saturday night special, better take it light, you Jaja, you're a Capitan, quest to the coast, the key logo, wire the chain gang, keep your ears out for our ears, sip the fountain blue, house of bamboo, paradise.
This is it, what? Luchini pouring from the sky, let's get rich, what? The cheeky vibes and sugar dimes, can't quit, what? Now pop the cork and see the Vega and get lit, what? This is it, what? This is it, what? Luchini pouring from the sky, let's get rich, what? The cheeky vibes and sugar dimes, can't quit, what? Now pop the cork and see the Vega and get lit, what? What? What?
Fallen sparrows through the seas, a black Caesar that convinces silky days, satin nights, taking flight, Dino gone, sweet sensation, Spanish flying with the lady star face, bottoms up, sunshine, love potion number
and we
nine.
From the magic city, transcending sweeter on your aura, Fancini in London, relaxation in Bora Bora, got notion to bring it, sing it, never been my function, stoning, robbing, we heisting merchandise and gunning, love it, leave it, but bless the war chief for his pricing, get it, got it, the low will forever be nice and
yeah, the sun. Fever, he be sipping on my red duh. They get you gracious, he be sipping on my red duh. We float the tri-state draped in the satin vines. This coolie hijack pack from the sugar shack. Then what we do after we sip the armor red duh? We start the Harlem River quiver, digging sweet daddy. Chopping the crimson blade, high Sierra serenade. Anatomy for seduction, be this
yeah,
ebony
as
junction.
As we exit the place with grace, jizzy on my rather the bursting of clouds it pours. Everything seems better on flats with love. We move. Only in the mess, it's slow, it's life, and we can't get enough yeah, of this. This is it, what? Luchini pouring from the sky, let's get rich, what? The cheeky vibes and sugar dimes, can't quit, what? Now pop the cork and see the Vega and get lit, what? This is it, what? This is it, what? Luchini pouring from the sky, let's get rich, what? The cheeky vibes and sugar dimes, can't quit, what? Now pop the cork and see the Vega and get lit, what? This is it, what? This is
yeah,
it, what?
But he be sipping on my red duh. The Geechee Vicious, he be sipping on my red duh. The Joe Chink, he be sipping on my red duh. The Chiquita Yid, he be sipping on my red duh. We got Asti Fumanti, we're on my red duh. And then my man Ill Will sip on my red duh. And then my man Kevin, the same sipping that. We slide through the tri-state with the hi-hat. And then I float side to side in my coolie high. And then I do something with the Spanish fly, yeah. And then I float down south. The boogie flats, and then I slide up in between the sticky butt off, and all of that, yeah.
All right, good evening, and welcome everyone to the Soul 70s Show. Every Friday on Studio W The Buzz, your global radio network. And look, you have time to tell a friend to download that app. It's free, IMG2, or you can go to our website. That's www.studiow.buzz. And welcome to the Soul 70 Show with your hosts, Q-Lynn Green and EB. Hey, what's going on, crew?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Hey, real good. Real good. Real good. Hey, I'm sure you have an exciting lineup tonight, and I can't wait until you get into Raggedy People news because there's somebody that I'm going to sue.
Hilarious.
Yeah. Okay, you can call it what you want, but I'm suing somebody for $513.17. And that's the cost of a case of Pinot Grigio and my and attorney costs.
Yeah, we'll make that happen. You need to... we need to get sponsorships, alcohol sponsorships, since you like to drink on the show every week.
See,
I asked all the because it's a live radio show, so I didn't know. As soon as he told me he would drink, I was like, oh shit, we gotta hurry up and get to do with this, because I don't know when that Pinot gonna kick in. As soon as it kicked in, I had a theme show of playing 90s theme songs, and he gonna come out with his brown liquor playlist, playing the JBs and playing Earth, Wind, and Fire. I don't know. And then he just kept taking over the show, EB. I don't know. I don't know what happened.
It's all slander.
Wow.
We're going to talk about that a little bit later when we get to the Savvy Updates. But right now, we got a special guest on. He's a music critic, music journalist, founder of Rap Dad, formerly known as FrontFree.com. He's been on the show before. We're going to get a little bit to that a little bit later and talk about this his reoccurrence last time, because that show was crazy. He was on the Black Music Month hip-hop show, and that was a really great show. But y'all give it up for Shaka Shaw.
Thanks, Shaka. What up?
Yeah.
What up?
Man,
to be here
we
again.
We got so much good feedback from there, and most of it was your reaction, yours and Jay Wiggins' reaction to Will when he said Will Smith was his favorite. I mean, just the two of us was his favorite rap song when we were getting ready to talk about gangster rap. That moment is still hysterical to me. I don't know. What would you think? I know you said you told me what you were thinking, but what was you thinking like when he said that? Like,
mm-hmm.
More evidence. Everybody's entitled to their, you know, their likes and things like that. I just wasn't sure about the categorization of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, like, are we sure? But, you know, I just try to be open and just try to hear where they're coming from with that. You know what I mean? When somebody says something like that. I can't think of any Will Smith song that's my favorite of any category at all. But, I mean, unless you're talking about songs about the movie Wild Wild West specifically, like, I guess I could say that his theme song was the best song on that soundtrack, but I'd be just assuming, honestly. But I mean, it was pretty funny though. It was all good fun, man. You know, it was good to hear another perspective and you know, see why he thought that.
See that, Q Lynn?
No, that was just funny. I told you not to come in with that, and as soon as we started, here you come with that. And then I'm trying to find these comments. They had so I was gonna read the comments from them, but a lot of them was like in your spill when you were going into when we was talking about our different, I guess our regional favorites. They were like, I think one of them. I'm trying to pull it up now. Somebody was from Oakland, wanted to know who's your favorite Bay Area rapper.
Who's mine?
Yes.
Oh, I mean, well, obviously I'm from the Bay. Shit, man. Like, honestly, I left the Bay in 2000, so, like, a lot of my likes in Bay Area rap are, like, early, like, before the hyphy movement, honestly, and, you know, like, that was still going on, but, you know, I'm, like, what they call the mob era, where it was, like, E-40 and Sebo, Sick With It, you know what I mean? I guess, I mean, I'd probably say E-40. And, you know, I know a lot of people from outside of the Bay dislike E-40 for whatever reason. He's really like an acquired taste, I think. But in terms of just like classics and songs I remember dropping and like hearing people that spoke like people around me, you know, that's important, I think, when regional rap was really a thing, which I don't really feel like it is anymore. But E-40 to me was just important because, man, everything was so original and there was just so much charisma and he just gave you something new to say every song, you know what I'm saying? So a lot of those early hits like Hurricane and with the Click and Sprinkle Me and One Love especially, I think was like, to me, the quintessential E-40 record, just in terms of just having so many strong emotional ties to that record in particular. Like, the song starts with a phone call. You remember the song starts with a phone call. And it's like an operator is saying, you are receiving a collect call from an inmate at the California Correctional Prison. If you would like to accept charges from, hey, this your partner, man. It's like a lot of yelling out, you know what I'm saying? And then he's like, to accept charges, press one. And it's like, boop, and the beat kicks in. And that shit is just like everything to me. Because that's like, it was just real. You know what I'm saying? So I think E-40 would probably be my easiest answer.
Okay, I was want to go back a little bit. What made you want to start your own website and talk about? I know you're deeply influenced by hip hop, but what made you say like, hey, I want to do my own thing and start my own website?
Well, honestly, it started from me just having too much to say on Facebook back then. Like, I started on Facebook back when you needed a college email to start it.
Oh, I remember
and
that.
So I was
on
there.
Yeah, I remember that.
Remember when everybody was writing notes? Remember Facebook notes?
Oh,
yeah, you could tag your friends.
Right, I remember that, yep.
So I was making those, and then I was like, man, let me stop annoying these people and just do my own thing. And it started with me just writing about anything else. Like, I mean, it really wasn't music. It was like politics. It was relationships, all this stuff. And then at a certain point, I realized, like, I don't feel like I'm an expert in any of these categories. I mean, that, you know, that's growth. That's just basic maturity. And, like, I really can't speak on any of these issues because I don't want people, you know, if I'm talking about relationships, I don't want people, you know, looking at me like they should be critiquing mine or, like, you know, I should be sharing X, Y, and Z that I'm not really willing to share. So, you know, I speak on things that I'm willing to have a dialogue with you about. I'm not going to speak on things that if you come back at me, well, why this? I'm going to be offended. Like, how dare you, you know, speak on my personal life? Like, well, you put it out there. You know what I'm saying? So I felt like music was something I was so tied to. And, I would have my articles, my mostly editorial articles about whatever, but then I would intersperse, like, I'm using the wrong fucking words. I would just put,
You're good.
I would put little tunes that I liked in the middle of those. And I was like, you know what? I really like this because people would give me good feedback and say, hey, you really put me onto that song. Cause that was back when, you know, before streaming and like blogs were where you really found music that was off the beaten path. So people would really like thank me for putting stuff up there that they didn't know about. So I was like, this is my thing because I've been a student of music for like really my whole life. Like, you know, my pops was really instrumental in kind of giving me that to go on. So like, I just kind of realizing where my strength lied and like just focusing completely on that. So I've been writing for over 10 years and, you know, I was getting published in other places, but I always wanted to keep my own site just to keep it honest and be able to say, even if this is not a marketable opinion or even if this is not an opinion that's going to get me paid or, you know, get me in with the in crowd, I still have somewhere to talk my shit. So that's why I started the website and everything.
Phoebe, you got any questions for him?
You know, I feel you when you say that you've been a student of music for a really long time, but once you started with, you know, the Front Free and writing your thoughts out, people, you know, they respected that, and you were putting them on the stuff that maybe they didn't realize. When it comes to hip-hop, who are your top five?
This is a question I always kind of dance around because, like, to me, it really just kind of changes. And, you know, every time I give somebody five, I always, you know, like, feel like I missed one because I'm just in a different mode at that particular time in my life. You know what I'm saying? But,
yep.
I mean, I can go on, like, just all time. Like, who just comes to my mind? Like, all time or, like,
yeah,
right now,
all time. Who?
Okay.
You know what? Let's do both. Because I'm very curious of who you would say for right now. But I want to do all time first, your top five of all time, and then we'll segue into right now.
All right, just like a quick list of just my all time top five, just in terms of like who excites me most in terms of like just their discography and just how I've connected with them over the years. I got to have Black Thought up there. That's it, MC as a top five MC. And, you know, I kind of argue with myself on that because he's part of the Roots and he hasn't really had a solo album. And I think that's important for a top level MC, but I just heard this cat
right.
Freestyle on Sway in the Morning with Method Man. And I'm like, this hair is not playing with anybody. You know what I mean? Like, he don't need a beat, nothing. Like he could just, and it's
right, exactly.
Every time you hear it and you can, it's a freestyle, but you can run it back and still pick up gems from it like 3-4 times. So I'm like, I got to put him up there. You know, I'd feel disrespectful if I did not. I put Big Pun up there, just because in his short career, I felt like he just had just incredible lines and just, he's Pun, like, you know, what else do you need, really? I put Ghost and Ray, both of them up there. Now, maybe they can share a spot, you know what I mean? Maybe they can share
right.
a spot, but I mean, both of them, I think they got to be on my top five just because of how much a fan of them I am.
Right.
Got to go with Jay. Gotta go with Jay-Z.
Wow.
Okay, so that's all time. So right now.
Right now, who am I checking for? These are just people that every time I hear they did something, I'm checking for it. Period. You know what I mean? Like, right now,
right.
I like what like Conway, Westside Gunn, I like what they're doing. I like Action Bronson. You know, I've liked him since he came out. That's like his references, and he just brings something new to the game. Checking for right now. Mayhem Loren. I like Mayhem Loren. I like your old Droog. Mm-hmm. I like a lot of his stuff. There's this other cat named Despot from out of Queens. He's sick. He hasn't had an album out yet. But I feel like every time he drops a little verse, I'm just like, what? Like, he just has some cool verses, so I like his stuff too. So I'm definitely checking for him if he ever drops anything else. But it's just from day to day. You know what I mean? So, I'm gonna probably kick myself later for forgetting like 10 people that I'm looking at right now.
Right, right. So when you name like the top five for right now, do you think, like you said, you were like, who am I checking for right now? Every time they drop something, who am I checking for? Do you think that's more hype, or are you a person who actually, I don't want to say studies, but you kind of have an idea of a person's flow, an idea of their catalog, so make like an informed decision.
Yeah, I mean, I'm anti-hype, you know what I mean? I don't really go
right.
The hype generally, like usually what I see as hype, like if we're going off of like Twitter, like music Twitter or whatever, like I seem to be very averse to everything that people are really up on or really just trying to like hype, you know what I mean?
Right.
And it's not like a devil's advocate kind of thing where I'm like, oh, everybody likes this, fuck that, you know. But you know, on Twitter, more often than not, I find that what people are hyping in mass tends to be garbage. You know, and that's just indicative of the genre right now.
That's just, yeah, that's very
old. But I go with, you know, I go with who has a good ear a lot of the time. Like, it's one thing to rap well, but if you don't have a good ear, you're not picking good beats. Like, one cat I forgot, A$AP Ferg. I like A$AP Ferg. You know, I like his second album was kind of whack to me, but his first and this most recent one, I'm like, this dude knows what he's doing. If he can get out of the rut of like trying to, you know, feature every new nigga out there on his records and just grab some legends or, you know, just do it himself, you know, I think he will be in the game for a long time. But, I mean, I see like Young Busta energy in him. You know what I mean? Like, I really see
Young
that.
Young Busta.
Yeah, I mean, he comes up with like really unique melodies. He's got a lot of energy. He puts that onto his records, and it's, you know, even if he has somebody whack featured on the record, he's still going to go in. You know what I mean? Like, it may not be the most complex verse, but he's going to put some thought into the melody of it and the cadence. And, you know, there's just a lot to his flow to where I feel like, okay, I feel like he studied music. I feel like he studies, you know, hip hop. I feel like he, you know, looks outside of hip hop for references. I feel like he puts work into what he's doing. And, you know, like the last album he has, like he went back to like old 3-6. You know, he didn't have to do that. You know what I mean? These kids would have been fine with a cookie cutter Metro Boomin beat. But, you know, some of them records, like he sampled Slop on My Knob. Remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one. Yeah.
He sampled, I think he sampled To the Club up on another record. But yeah, I mean, it's like Project Pat kind of flow. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he just really, you know, it's exciting to listen to because it's like, okay, what's he going to come with this time? And it's nuanced, you know what I mean? So that kind of stuff, like, that's what I look for is the rapper themselves to have a good ear and make smart decisions in terms of, like, what moves can they make now that are going to keep them in the game for a while instead of what moves can I make that's going to keep me hot for a month?
Okay, so I'm glad you said that because I'm gonna ask this one last thing and I'm going to hand it back over to Q-Lynn. Like, I'm not a hip-hop guy. I'm very much a soul, R&B, funk, disco guy. Mm-hmm. But I like what you said about having that ear and being a scholar of music and not making decisions, you know, that's going to keep you hot for the moment, but what's going to last. So, like, a lot of the people who have gotten me, a lot of the newer artists who have gotten me, well, I guess they wouldn't be newer anymore, but have gotten me into music as much as I am and have done their thing. And you can, you know, you can always kind of tell when someone is all hype, or, you know, it's just hot for the moment, or when someone, like you said, has an ear for the music and, you know, studies their craft, they know what they're doing, you know, they go back and, you know, pay homage to those who come before them. Do you think that's something that's getting lost now, like, in all of the newer generation, everything that's being released is all hype? Do you think that's something that's lost? People are not going back and studying it?
Definitely.
You know, yeah.
Definitely. I mean, even though, like, that's what I say all the time, is that even though, you know, kids today have access to literally everything in music at the touch of a, literally at the touch of a button, they don't go back because everything is spoon-fed to them. Everything is right now. If it's not, you know, if it's not right now, because they don't have, it's like the old head system. Like, they don't have that anymore.
Right.
Nobody has to listen to their older brother's records or their parents' records anymore, because they've had the iPod since they were six. So, you know, they're only listening to what their peers are listening to.
Right.
And even in terms of production, before anybody even starts rapping on a record, it's producers who, because, you know, the legal kind of crackdown on sampling, a lot of producers are straying away from sampling, but then not even studying the music. Like, I think that sampling, you know, it was what hip hop was founded on. Like, that's not necessary for every record, but for producers to not go back and dig in the crates and find old, like, you know what I'm saying, like Afro jazz, Afro-Cuban jazz, you know, obscure records, you know what I'm saying? Like, for producers not to do that, they're not taking an opportunity to explore what people have done before that has had, you know, longevity. And, you know, that connection is being lost, so people are just making what's hot right now, and it's very disposable because it's not rooted in anything real.
Wow.
It's just, let me make this beat. And that's the thing. That's the difference between beat makers and producers. You're just making beats. You're not producing because you're not taking something old and making it new, which is what hip-hop was founded upon.
Right.
So if you're, I mean, the thing is, I don't, even with fans, I don't trust your ear if all you listen to is rap.
Right.
I don't trust your ear or your opinion about rap if all you listen to is rap. That doesn't make you an expert.
Because you can't be a true fan of rap.
Absolutely. Because rap is, because hip-hop is derivative. The whole culture the whole culture is derivative. But I mean, the music specifically is derivative of previous genres that have come before, soul, funk, blues, everything. So, you know, to be a true, you know, a fan of music, to have a good ear, you got to go back and listen to things that came before and, like, learn. Because, I mean, you appreciate songs more when you know that they came from something else. You know, when you find out where they came from, and like, man, this is how this nigga did this? Wow. You know? So I think
there's, like, a major correlation there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's like a theory that I've been talking about.
I've been talking about this, you know. Like I said, I'm a soul fan, so I've been talking about this in R&B as it relates to where music is now and the roots of R&B. So to hear you, you know, as a hip-hop head, say the same things is blowing my mind. I love it.
Mm-hmm. R&B is the same thing. R&B is the same thing. A lot of the things now is just very soulless. A lot of the mainstream R&B is soulless. It doesn't have heart to it. Nobody's doing any real deep runs. Everybody's you know, there are actual singers trying to sound like Drake, who is a rapper who acts like, you know what I'm saying, like who kind of sings sometimes, you know what I'm saying? Like, why are you emulating that when you actually actually can blow? Like, I don't doubt that Chris Brown can probably blow for real if he wanted to sing, you know, if he had been singing for the past however many years he's been on, but he hasn't had to because he's been whispering into an auto-tune thing. You know what I mean? Like, in, like, classic artists, like legends, you knew them from the first note that they uttered.
That's
because their voice was recognizable. Now, you gotta figure out who it is, you know, by looking at the phone, because it's like, okay, well, everybody's trying to make the same sounds. Everybody's too cool to make a good love song. Everybody's too cool to make a really, like, heartfelt, you know what I'm saying, love song.
Right.
You know, so it's a whole lot of just, like, Love and Basketball soundtrack type music. And nothing that's going to make you cry. You know what I'm saying? Like, make me cry. Right. You know what I'm saying? Can I get like a Harold Melvin in the Blue Notes? Can I get like a, you know, like I want a moment like that where you stop in the middle of the song and like beg somebody for like two minutes.
I'm you know what I mean? For your heart.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That kind of shit. I mean, I need something like, you know what I'm saying? How my little son doing? Remember, I miss you by Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. That brother stopped
right,
that song and
exactly.
for 2 minutes.
Exactly.
But he was going through something. You felt like he was going through something, man. I need you to sing like you got bills at your house.
You got, yep, look. With the wheels in the background.
Exactly. And the thing is, I was raised off word. And the thing is, if I'm raised off that, like, I really can't look at something else as something lesser as being worth my time half the time. You know, unless you really got busy on production and it's just a cool little bop, I really can't rock with it if I'm hearing you like, you know, tiptoe through the tulips across the record. Nah, it's sing. I need to hear your voice.
You are making so many points that I've been trying to convey to people, but that's amazing. That's amazing. Q Lynn.
People don't want
to. Oh, I'll just go over this stream. I saw this article last week and it was interesting. Rodney Jerkins, I think I saw it on BET first, BET's website first, and right, they were basically getting like excerpts from, he was, talking at the recording academy. I guess they have like a clinic or something, with certain producers and singers, and he's a part of a company that, I don't know if it's a startup, I think it's been in action for like 3 years. I've got the name of the company, but they're basically trying to help, musicians and singers get their royalties basically with streaming, because to me, I feel like streaming, the only people that have gripes with is the ones that's trying to benefit from it, like, you know, the music executives at record label, major record labels, or anybody in general. I think a lot of independents and artists and musicians trying to get the royalties for streaming. My whole thing on it was whenever I see anybody that makes a statement on it, I never see any of the executives say that we were trying to get started on it first with trying to partner with the Spotify's or the Pandora's, whatever, to get the royalties for that. They waited like years later, like when they started getting a lot of streams with YouTube and all these other wherever you listen to music from, when those started getting really big streams and they realized, hey, a lot of people are going to these places to listen to music. Nobody buys CDs and stuff like that anymore. That's when it's like couple years later, like 2014, when they started paying attention. And my whole issue with the whole thing is, this should have been in the works way before these technologies started being in place. I feel like it's more of it is wrong that you do this many streams, a million or a billion, however many it does with Justin Bieber, and you only receive 20,000 or whatever that number is, that doesn't equate to how many streams it got. But my whole thing was they should have been on that way before it started. And they say, well, they're on it now. I'm like, yeah, that's too late, because then it's already put in place. You can't, I feel like they should have been doing that. They're trying to get legislation to, they say it's a, they're saying it's complicated because they don't know if it's bought ads. Some of these streaming services have bought ads, like Pandora and all these ones, so they say it makes it difficult to try to see what royalties they can get. And I think Billboard actually just reported something, I think, a couple days ago and said that they were actually going to start putting independent artists or whoever is streams do well on streaming services, they're going to start adding those onto the billboards as well. So it's changing, but I just want to know, Shaka, because I read your piece on Medium when you sent it to me, and I was like, yeah, you made a lot of great points, specifically with Tidal, with this exclusivity business. I'm not into that either. So if you can expound on that from your point on that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that, you know, Jay, he's one of my favorite artists, but I think that he's not, he's forward thinking, but at the same time with Tidal, it's pretty much a move that only affects him and artists specifically on his level, which aren't very many, his wife maybe, but, you know, his wife and Drake, there's numbers that show that they actually lost potential sales from being exclusive to Tidal. And I think that for an artist like Jay-Z, it's beneficial only because people already know who Jay-Z is. Most music fans now have an idea who he is. But what you'll see is that the majority of artists complaining about this are artists that were getting money in the 90s. And they are spoiled because they, not spoiled, but they are used to a system that was paying them what, you know, it's just what they were used to at the time. You know what I'm saying? I can't say whether it was a fair amount or whether it was more than they probably should have gotten for it, but people were making money hand over fist back when they were controlling the market in terms of, I'm going to make this CD, you can purchase it for $15.99 or you cannot purchase it for $15.99 in the store. You know, I think they have to realize at this point, people aren't doing that. Like, somebody's doing it. I don't know who, but somebody's doing it. But for the most part, people want their music through their, you know, portable, their mobile devices, and that's not going to change. And on top of that, I think it's more important to people be right for them than the artist be on that right app. You understand?
Right.
Like I have Spotify, and I've had it for. I was a very early adopter of Spotify. I've tried Apple Music and Tidal. They didn't do this, and Google Music, actually, and they haven't done the same, you know, things for me. Like, at least that when they first came out, they weren't giving me the same things that Spotify was giving me. So I stick with Spotify because that's what I like. Unfortunately, you have artists like Jay-Z or Anita Baker who don't put their music there, you know, because they've gone to Tidal. I'm not getting Tidal. I'm not getting a second subscription to another music service just for two artists. You know, I'd rather go and maybe get the album, or the album I already had, actually, and, you know, put it on Spotify myself from using the upload ability. But because I'm going to want my music where I want to listen to it and what works for me, where I'd have all my playlists and where I have all my followers and where all my friends are. So I think that that's something that people could have predicted if they had wanted to a while ago instead of complaining about streaming, because that was going to happen. It's inevitable. And I do think that the streaming companies have a right, have a obligation to try to work things out with these artists and try to figure it out, because I think that exclusivity is way more dangerous in terms of having artists start, you know, I don't think that they're doing that in mass, but I think that there's a possibility that there could be a trend of people saying, oh, I'm exclusive to Apple Music. I'm exclusive to Tidal. And you're trying to force the audience again to choose, and trying to force the audience into the same space they were in the 90s, where it was like they control, you know, the access. The music industry controls the access. And whether you think that's right or wrong, that's not where we are right now in terms of people's convenience level and wanting to use the apps that they like and that work with their particular phone or their particular, you know, wherever else they have to, for preferring that app.
Exactly.
So,
Renee and Angela, like, they have the stations, but I got into Spotify because they let you download. It's just specific things on there that I liked about the streaming service. But I still use both, because I listen to Questlove Supreme on Pandora, and still my I'm never getting rid of my Renee and Angela station on Pandora, because it's phenomenal. But Spotify, I love the new features that added onto it. They just added one where they, like, you can customize customize the list and all that stuff. And
well, look, Renee and Angela only got so many songs. I said Renee and Angela only got so many songs. You can make a playlist of that and put that on Spotify.
But sometimes I don't feel like picking it. Like, Pandora has it on. Like, they'll play that, and then SOS Fan. Like, I don't want to have to go in and manually do it. I'm lazy. I don't feel like doing that. But
The algorithms on Spotify are improving, though. They're really good.
But it's way better than Tidal, because I know when I first went on there, because it was an album that was, like, exclusive, like you said, and it was, it was some album, I don't know what it was, and I went to go listen to it. I think it was, they had just debuted all, it was Prince's, that's what it was, they had all Prince's catalog there, and I got it, and I was thinking about getting it, but then I was like, oh, y'all don't have Angela Winbush on here, and then it was like, because I was looking for her songs, and then as soon as my subscription, and then it asked you, why did you cancel this service. I'm like, because you don't have Angela Winbush. And then I said, I'm like, because you don't have Angela Winbush. And
it's very limited.
Yeah.
Same thing for me as a blogger. I needed to be able to embed songs and playlists onto my website. So when I went into Apple Music, I couldn't find that option. They may have it now, but when they first came out and I was trying it out for the first time, I didn't see that option. With Tidal, I didn't see that they had any kind of like desktop app. I'm like, how do you not have a desktop app? I have to go to the website to be able to, you know what I mean? That doesn't make any sense. What if I'm offline? I can't act like, you know what I mean? Like, there was a lot of questions that I had that I was just like, why would you release an app like this? And, I mean, I'm a quality assurance engineer by day. So, like, I look at apps from a very critical standpoint of, like, the user experience, you know, has to be, you know, top notch for me to even bother with it. Because otherwise, I just feel like I'm at work. I'm, like, pointing out bugs. I'm, like, giving feedback. You know, so they were really lacking a lot of things. But, you know, I have the app that I love, which is Spotify. And, you know, I can embed things onto my website. I can share with friends. I can do a number of things that I couldn't do, to my knowledge, in other apps, and as well as upload music that I have that Spotify doesn't have. I can upload it and listen to it on my personal devices. So that's what I came to it for. But it's like, I'm not going to leave this app and then go pay somebody else $15 a month just to have access to Jay-Z. No, I'm going to have somebody get me the the new Jay-Z album any way I can get it.
I definitely had a plug on it.
There she
goes. Because I was not going on Tidal and getting that. I mean, listen to that.
Based on the numbers, a lot of people had that same idea. Like, the numbers were crazy for the number of people that downloaded it illegally in the first week. It actually, you know, I don't know, because the thing is Tidal has a tendency to fudge the numbers when it comes to telling people publicly about sales and streams and all that stuff, so you can't really trust anything they say in terms of how many people bought an album or, you know, played an album.
Right.
But I'm sure that the numbers of people that illegally obtained this album are way above people that listened to it in the first week through Tidal. So, and, you know, and for artists that are older than, like, a lot of the artists that were older than Jay-Z that were against streaming, like you have the Garth Brookses, you have the Princes. They're doing themselves a disservice only because, you know, kids now are used to the apps that they have. And, you know, if you tell them to go look at this song, or they get an inclination to go and look up something from another artist, from an older artist that's before their time, and they can't find it, I think that they're probably going to give up for the most part. You know what I mean? Like, oh, it's not here.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so yep. You're missing out on reaching a whole other generation by not making your music accessible because you're fearing something that you don't understand. You're not willing to come up off of the same system that you've been working with since before the 90s, where you're getting paid for albums sold, you know, physical albums sold. This is not the same anymore. So you have to shift with the new. You have to move with what's going on right now. And that's in every industry, really. Like, you have to change it to adapt to technology. And I think that the music industry is trying to fight that, but it's an uphill battle. It's never going to be resolved because you have to go with what's going on right now in terms of technology, because it's going to control everything. Even with writing, I've realized, like, you know, I do a lot of editorial content. People aren't reading as much. You know what I mean? You have, you know, online publications are flourishing based mostly off video content, that or very short pieces that are just basically telling you what you already know. Oh, such as Cardi B sold a million this week. That's an article.
Right, exactly.
You could have went on a fucking billboard to found that out, but you're going to have somebody write one paragraph about that, have a big picture of Cardi B, and get all the clicks because of SEO. So it's like, you know, the market for actually reading is getting very slim, and luckily I have a day job, so I don't have to worry about getting paid off of my writing. But, you know, for the most part, people, my colleagues, people that are also rap journalists, or music journalists in general, most of them have day jobs, I would say. Unless you're an editor, you know what I'm saying? Most people are doing freelance. There's a lot of freelance work. A lot of people are willing to pay you for freelance work, but nobody's willing to give you a staff writer position for the most part, because that's not really a thing as much anymore, because unless you're just writing little blurbs about this or that. But if you're actually writing editorial content, there's not much of a market for it. But you have to just change to fit that, or do it on your own, and you know, just hope it gets you where you want to go.
Right, exactly.
Or you got to do podcasts, or you got to do public speaking. You got to find another avenue to get your thoughts out there and find a way to monetize that. But you got to shift. You got to be willing to evolve and adapt.
Yeah, it definitely. Yeah, I think it's mostly I think direct advertisement helps as well. If you got a nice following to where you don't have to post every day, because I know that's what I do. Because I'm a full time musician, so I don't even. I'm lacking on album reviews. I'm so behind on it because I've been out of state for 3 months. So most of the time, they'll hit me up. Do you ever get those emails or messages when you go post a new album review? If it's a new album that came out. I know I hit you up one time and was like, did you check out that De La Soul album that, the one that just dropped, the last one they did?
Mm-hmm.
Do you get emails and stuff like that constantly, or is it a minimal?
It's become minimal since I changed my site. I had an old, an old email for frontfree.com, and I would just get on these mailing lists of people that would just send me bullshit day after day after day. I really would only listen to about, about 10% of it. Just because a lot of stuff that I would get would just be so cookie cutterish, and I'm you're an aspiring artist. Why are you rapping about a Bentley? Canceled. No.
Canceled.
It would be boring. So I really would only listen to stuff that was, somebody that I knew from Twitter that was saying, listen to this or whatever, unless it was a direct recommendation. But yeah, you get a lot of stuff from people. I mean, the thing is, bloggers don't really hold that much power anymore. Exactly, but bloggers don't really hold as much power anymore. You know what I mean? So, I expect that the people that, I can't put you on, is what I say. You got to go talk to Wayno or somebody like that. But or Hovain or somebody, because I can't really put you on at all. I'm just here to, give critiques. And it's a matter of, when people ask me for critiques of their music, I'm just okay, do you want to know if this is going to sell or not, or do you want to know if this is going to put you in the space of being a legit, artist that people will really be interested in. That's the opinion I can give you. If it's going to sell or not, I'm probably not going to think very highly of it if I think it's going to blow up right now. I was talking to, somebody appeared on my timeline with a video, yesterday, actually, and we got into it because I was it's literally, this Bruce dude's going to be a megastar. And I was yeah, he probably will, because this sounds like everything else is out.
A Metro Boomin record.
So it just was there's so many cliches in the video, and the song was just so who are you trying to be? You're coming, we already have this cat and this cat. Why do we need you now to sound exactly like them? He's you're so judgy. You're so quick to judge what you don't understand. I'm like, this wasn't deep, so it's not about understanding it or not, sir. It's just about it's not very interesting. And he's like, oh, you old fuck, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, my age doesn't have anything to do with this not being good, dog. It's not interesting. If I come to you immediately with a criticism saying, this is like everything else, why would your main comeback not be, let me tell you why he's unique? Let me tell you why this dude is stand out. Let me tell you why I believe in him. No, it was just immediate animosity, because you couldn't say that yourself. You know what I'm saying? You couldn't say it was unique yourself. You're just frustrated. But it's why put music out there if you're not there for feedback? And I think it's an epidemic, especially with rappers specifically, because of the machismo and bravado that they've learned to emulate growing up listening to rap. They come in the game immediately thinking they're supposed to be looked at as a goat. I'm like, nah, nigga, you gotta work. Impress me. You know what I'm saying? You gotta work. The thing is, nobody wants to be nobody gets seasoned anymore as an artist coming in the game. There's no process of shopping your demo tape and dealing with no and dealing with, criticism from people that know what they're talking about. It's you put your music on SoundCloud, now you're on. you got your little chain, you got your little video shoot with the iPhone 6 or whatever, and or iPhone 7, whichever one they on now, but and the people feel like they're on and that they're beyond reproach. And that doesn't help them grow as an artist at all. It helps them stagnate because they're not accepting anything but adoration. And they look at, oh, I have X amount of followers. That means that I have X amount of streams. That means, you know, that I have X amount of fans. No, that means X amount of people clicked the link and may have clicked right off of it. You know, so people think that that's loyalty. They think that everybody that, and on the flip side of that, they think that everybody that has something, remotely negative to say is a hater. So that, right. There's no gray area to learn from.
That's what makes me so mad about it, because it's like, just being in the music industry, they don't realize this goes beyond just rappers, but like, just entertainers in general, if you a singer or whatever, like, you have to, most of the money that's being made in the music industry is touring or merchandising. You know, mm-hmm. they use both of them to go on tour. They merchandise while they're on tour. So if you're putting out music and you're not building up something to where you're getting a booking agent, or basically if you have a booking agent or a manager, you can get out there. If you have that following, you need to cultivate that to try to book a show, either start with a small venue before you can get to the big stadiums, like, you know, the Jay-Z's and stuff like that. Like, that's a process. Like, that's what it was back then. Like, that's why I feel like the distinction between the cats back then and now is that none of them have work ethic. None of them want to do the things that they did. Like, it's cats that, you know, had to open for, like, Big Daddy. Like, Jay-Z, you know, was underneath Big Daddy Kane and all those cats that came underneath there. Like, they were working, like, you know, going to shows. Like, cats had to go outside to listen to music. Like, it wasn't just you got the cassette tape or whatever, a CD. No, you had to actually go out and hear people rap. Like, that was the thing.
That's that's one reason I like, that's one reason I named Action Bronson earlier, because, you know, I went to one of his live shows.
Exactly.
It was incredible.
Exactly.
It was energy. It was just like you felt good because, you know, the other fans knew the song. It was how a rap show was supposed to be. And, you know, you probably won't hear him complaining about streams because that brother is touring 24/7. He's always on tour and he's got his TV shows. He's doing, you know, he's sold himself as a unique act.
Right.
And that novelty has catapulted him into a situation where he doesn't give a fuck about streams. Like, albums are an afterthought for him because he's like, he's put out enough free albums of such good quality that it's like, yo, like, I'll go to a show. Absolutely. If he's near me, I'm absolutely paying to go to a show.
Run the Jewels too. Like they have a really, they've torn all, like, they've been on a massive tour for like 2 years. I know one day in Austin, that big festival in Austin, like, they like killed it.
Yep.
But yeah, we're gonna play the game with you real quick before we run out of time. We got like 15 minutes left. I hope EB has a little bit. It's a either or game. It's not vocal comparisons. It's just it's called the What's Wrong With You game, and you just pick the artist with the best music catalog. You pretty much got to pick what I pick. That's the rules of the game.
It's rigged.
And so
game is rigged.
No, it's not rigged, Will. You keep saying that. You actually won the game, so I don't know why you keep saying that. You actually won the first time you played. So be quiet if I put you on mute. Okay, we're going to play the game, What's Wrong With You, with Shaka. Okay, the first one is Marvin Gaye or Teddy Pendergrass.
Which one I like better?
The music catalog. Which one you like better?
You know, right with the juggler, huh? You know, I don't know. I mean, somebody gonna try to kill me, but I mean, I gotta go with Teddy Pendergrass for me personally. Like, I love them both. I've never liked What's Going On. I know that's blasphemy, but
what?
Like, that's like his main.
No,
like,
you're talking right. You keep going.
I've never enjoyed that particular record.
Forgot.
And I know.
I forgot. Ibi.
I mean. Yeah, I'm really like.
But he has I Want You. Music, he has Inner City Blues.
But like,
he has Distant Lovers.
And I love. Do you ever see like the one that really stands out for me for Marvin is Come Home is Come Live With Me. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But was Teddy though, like, close the door? Like, come on, man. Does that record alone, like?
Okay, that one used to be a with EB's having
yeah, exactly.
A moment. Okay, we usually, I usually do a "What's Wrong With You" on that one, but I might give you negative 20. You might not get a "What's Wrong With You." Get negative.
Hey, it is what it is.
That his explanation was A1.
Yes,
thank
it was
you.
Good. Usually, if you give a good explanation, I'll let it slide. You gave a good one. Okay,
like
the next.
I feel like I was on the cross.
Hilarious. The next one is the OJs or the Whispers.
I gotta go with the OJs.
That's a trick question. That was a trick question. You could have went either way on that one. That's the thing about this game.
I figured that. Okay.
I told you it was rigged.
I make up the rules as I go. So, no, it's not rigged. I make up the rules as I go. So, it's
that's rigged.
So,
I mean, without OJs, we would have never had Gerald LeVert.
That's a bonus. Okay. This one This one right here, Rick James or Prince?
Come on, man. Prince, man. Look.
Okay.
Another I don't even want to be old. I'm going to have to fist fight. You're going to have to fight over Rick James.
They're musically on the same level. That's why I made that little music catalog comparison, because they both, you know, songwriters, musicians, same wavelength. And Prince took his girls and all that stuff, took the Mary Jane girls and all that. I mean, the Vanity Six girls.
I mean,
took
I feel you,
stuff.
But, like, do you really feel like you feel like Rick James' discography holds up against Prince's discography?
Hell yeah!
I do, definitely.
Oh my God!
Any day,
so
every day.
Man. What?
I mean, y'all are hey, this is y'all's genre. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna go ahead and like I'm gonna throw my hands up on that one.
Yeah.
I'm gonna hope y'all know better than me, because I can't really think of, like, the record. I love, like, you know what I'm saying, Ebony Eyes and shit like that, but I can't really think of, like, something
that
hits me
deep
more
in them,
than Purple Rain.
When you
like,
get deep in those Rick James crates, when you get deep, if you go album, even though Prince had way more albums, but I would put his Garden
Love
album against a lot of his 80s albums. No.
He had a lot of bad albums.
Instrumentation-wise, they were great. Who, Prince?
Fire and Desire.
I mean, not bad. I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying they're not as significant as some of his earlier, you know what I'm saying, like, classics. You know, like, Purple Rain, it was really incredible. Like, that's a high bar.
No, you gotta go back to Sign of the Times.
I'm just saying Purple Rain. Like, Purple Rain came out the year I was born, so, like, that's the one I think of.
That's a standard Prince fan answer. I'll give it that, but if you get deep into it, we're getting off subject here, because you got my Prince Army hat going on. I almost lost it for a second. I'm good, though. It's all love, Chaka. You gave a great explanation. We'll go to the next one. Okay, this one, these are not either or. You got to pick one on this one. This is where we start cooking right here, because these are the hard ones. Okay, this is specific to Michael Jackson. Off the Wall or Thriller?
I got to go back and look at what records were on which. I really
off the
really
wall.
This is why streaming is bad. This is why streaming is bad.
Get on the Floor is on Off the Wall. That's the album cut. What else is on? What else is on Off the Wall? I'm losing my head a little bit. I know Thriller is like. I think it's PYT on Thriller. Lady in My Life, I think.
Thriller with my gut. I'm gonna go with Thriller just off of like.
Oh
like
my god!
Lady of my life and like, I mean Thriller itself. It's still a jam. It was cheesy, but it's still a jam. Like, man, you really can't go too wrong.
I hate to do this, but
Jaka. I did. I liked him before. Right now,
right.
I thought he was cool.
Yeah,
like I said,
so
this
cool.
is y'all's genre, man. I'm going off conjecture. Maybe if you laid the track,
okay,
maybe if you laid the songs out for me.
Okay, we'll give a split decision on that one, because you know the catalogs of both of them is a little tricky. Okay, I give a split decision on that. I would automatically say What's Wrong With You on that one. Okay, you get a split decision. Okay, next one is Aretha Franklin. I think I might have to change this one because of Chaka. I was listening to Questlove Supreme, and she was dropping some science on there about Aretha Franklin's jazz chops.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you know what? I might have to change it, but I think this might be the final one here. I don't know. But Aretha or Patty?
See, for me, like, look, I have a thing. Like, I'm not, I don't get into the Motown sound, yo. Like, I don't really get into, like, some of Aretha's earlier, like, work. Like, there's only a few Aretha cuts I'm really gonna sit down and play. There's only a couple of joints I'm really gonna play. I got, like, Hurts Like Hell by Aretha Franklin.
There we go.
Remember the Waiting to Exhale soundtrack?
Yeah.
I like Daydreaming. I like Daydreaming.
Right.
You know, she got a few joints. I really can't do that. Her singing.
You talking right, Chaka. Finish it off right.
No, Patty, though.
Are we on the Patty side?
Finish
this off.
No.
Look, I can make my decision.
I don't know, Patty.
See, I gotta sit down with Chaka.
Are you going with Patty?
Just off of personal preference, I'm going with Patty.
It's not about impact, influence out the window and just say like.
Like, I like, I can listen to Patty LaBelle for more than one song.
Talking right. Listen. Aretha's not very nice, yo.
You don't have to be nice. This is music. This ain't friendship. I feel you, but at the same time, like, when you're talking about goats, like, they're people that are likable.
You don't have to explain no further to EB, okay? This is my list, okay? I'm determined to fact it with this one, okay? So... you talking right, and this was, I think that's the final time I'm going to do the Chaka.
Give me one more. This seems to be a real game. So, give me like one
okay,
more.
Okay, last one. Is Brian McKnight or Babyface?
Babyface.
Without Babyface, you talking about the deal?
After seven? Come on, Chaka.
Yes.
Listen. The best of After Seven got spin, like, until that's one CD. They got so much spin when I was in college, dog.
You were talking right. I used to have that cassette tape. The first one. It dates back to
cassette tapes. But I mean, I rediscovered it. Like, yes. I got, like, from the Bootleg Man at Howard. I got the best of After Seven. I mean, in 2000. And the CD Man had the Best of After Seven. Dog, like, I played the shit out of that record. But, I mean, before that, I mean, just Babyface himself. I mean, Tender Lover, you know, As soon as I get home from work. Come on. I mean, that's not to say Brian McKnight is not a slouch. Brian McKnight is not a slouch, but he was not as much of an artist as, I mean, you're talking about how many people Babyface wrote for, produced for, like, I mean, come on.
Exactly.
That's like comparing Quincy Jones to, like, I don't know, like,
Metro Boomin?
Keith Washington or somebody, you know what I'm saying?
Hilarious. He said Keith Washington.
Wow.
I mean, Quincy Jones doesn't sing, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, it's like a visionary, you know what I'm saying? Babyface really shaped the sound, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And, like, we actually got to collaborate on something, because I'm thinking, like, I've been thinking for a while. I need to do like a New Jack Swing appreciation, like, playlist or something, or like, you know what I mean? Like Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. Like, I gotta start getting into playlists. I think that's the next thing for bloggers, is to start getting into playlists. And,
it is,
you know, content.
Yeah, that's what
really
EB does. On his website.
See, I thought I was following you. I followed you today, and like, I'm like, yeah, I need to. We gotta chat because, man, I really think that that's the next wave, and you know, I'm trying to work with, I actually need to contact Spotify, and just try to see, like, you know, how we can get bloggers to be more of elevated in that platform. You know what I'm saying? Because artists are not fucking with them.
Exactly.
So we need to be fucking with them in terms of, like, yo, like, we should be able to give people content they can't get anywhere else, which is like curated playlists by people that know and love music. So
that's it.
I think that's natural. So
Evie, I have one question. I think I have like two questions left. I heard you said something about CDs. What is your thing with people? I know you're not you completely on streaming, but what is it when you hear people say they have they still buy CDs you don't like? I remember, I think I saw a tweet you had said something about that.
I said something about it?
Yeah, you saying something about like that CDs, like who still buys CDs or something like that. It was.
Oh.
And it was a debate.
It's always funny to me because like I'm like, and I'm working on a piece actually called like you're only buying albums to prove a point. And like part of that right now is real. But the thing is, people are buying CDs because if you think about it, think how much money Target spends on its space in its store, right?
Yep.
You think how much space in an average Target is dedicated to CDs. Somebody's buying them shits. You feel me?
Of course.
But it's right. Like, who? Like, for what?
it's that whole
like car, like, yo,
that whole auntie, I feel like it's the whole auntie era that's still buying CDs. Because see a lot of them, they be taking pictures. I look on Facebook. I don't know why. I hate all y'all cousins on Facebook because when I go in there, they all got something random going on. But they're
going to R. Kelly concert.
Like the new Johnny Gill CD. Like, who still? Man. Like, how do you know this is
that's
out?
That's who going to the R. Kelly concert.
Wait. Johnny Murphy has a new CD?
Oh, man. Here he go. He said Johnny Murphy.
I just want to know.
I just want to know
he has a new
listen,
album.
I want to get him on the show one day, and you're going to mess up the connection if you keep going.
Oh, you're right.
Now I got to edit it out. Right. This is live radio. He's acting like
y'all like Johnny Gill?
No,
I love her music.
Oh my God!
Wait, who? I do. No, she's a Johnny Gill. She's a great vocalist.
Yeah,
she's a great vocalist. She's a great vocalist.
Oh my God! You're going to get us in so much trouble.
How you feel about Freddie Jackson?
Oh my God!
I love Auntie Freddie. She is one of the greats, and her catalog is so underrated. People don't realize, but she put in a lot of work.
I heard a story about somebody that saw him in New York one time or something like that, walking into a building, and he had like a scarf, like a silk scarf, draped over his neck, and he was carrying flowers. And another person, I used to work with somebody that was a model in one of his videos. I forget the video that it was. Like she was, the main chick in the video that he was talking to, and so.
I think we actually did a thing saying who had the finest men, Luther Vandross or Freddie Jackson.
Or Freddie Jackson, yeah.
I think it was Freddie because we never saw
Luther.
Oh yeah, right. You said it was Freddie had the finest men on his arm. Because Luther was always singing about being lonely. So we're going to get so much trouble. This is live radio.
You see Freddie Jackson
so
at the
I don't
even Baker,
know if I can edit this out.
All right, wait, I got like three questions for Shaka. I want to play the game real quick. But I want to do it hip-hop because I know he's more hip-hop. So I'm going to do three questions. I'm going to do 3 years because mine are always more year-oriented. 92, 93, 94, because I feel those are very formative years for hip-hop. I feel that was when a shift started to occur. So in 1992, you got CL Smooth and Pete Rock, Would They Reminisce Over You? Or you got The Far Side with Passing Me By. Which one are you listening to?
They Reminisce Over You, absolutely, every time. Mainly because my pops played that record to hell and back. Like, that was a record that we really bonded on. So, like, there was real... And, the things he was talking about were really, like, heartfelt. It was just more to it to me. Like, there was more of an emotional connection there. The production, those horns are crazy. Like, if you look up, like, the sample that they came from, there's just a lot of moving parts there. So, Troy, absolutely.
Okay, I can rock with that. So, 1993, you got Lords of the Underground with Chief Rocker, or you got Tribe Called Quest with the War Tour.
I go with Tribe.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm a big Tribe fan. I love Tribe. And, you know, I those it's just between those, but between both questions, actually, the songs I picked were the songs I would play like right now. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
The other two, I'm less inclined. Unless I'm in a nostalgic mood, I'm not going to play those. But these two, they're still to me very relevant in that they don't sound dated to me. You know, it's just like a War Tour to me, and Troy are just like kind of timeless. No disrespect to the other songs, though.
No disrespect, right. Okay, because, you know, I was about to take offense, but okay, we're good now. All right, last one, 1994. Think carefully. You got Craig Mack with Flavor in Your Ear. So it's the East Coast, West Coast thing, or you got Warren G with Regulate.
Why are you going to do that to me, man? You're gonna have to fight.
You need to be coming with the hard ones, man.
Listen,
you're gonna have to fight.
This is important.
I see the loophole, and I'm going right for it. Don't try to even correct it, because I'm gonna go with Regulate, because the Flavor in Your Remix was the one.
Exactly.
I'm sure you meant the remix. But I'm gonna go ahead and dance around that.
I got Five on It remix. I don't recognize the original. It's always the remix.
Right.
I got Five on It. I don't even recognize the original one. It's all about Shock D, Spice One, all of them on there.
Yep.
That's the only one I was.
Yeah, I have many years of going crazy to that. When I was at Howard and there was only like 2-3 Cali dudes, and we were trying to get the DJ to play one Cali record, and that's the one they would put on. Like we would lose our shit. And everybody moves the fuck out the way. Everybody moves the fuck out the way for 3 minutes while we get ours in. But the East Coast West Coast feud was like, I mean, that was earlier, I think, but a little earlier, I believe, but that was a very conflicted time for me just because of coming from, you know, the West Coast and growing up in, you know, my dad loved LA music and gangster rap but then being also, like I said, a student of music and wanting to hear everything I could, it was difficult to like, get access to everything that was coming out of the East that nobody was talking about
right
around. So, you know, it was a very heartbreaking time for anybody that loved hip hop because it was just difficult out, you know, where I was to really get a lot of what was coming out of the East and understand where they're coming from. But, you know, I was able to discover a lot of it later on.
Man, Shock, we had so much fun talking. Man, I wish you could stay on the whole show, because I don't know.
We
can
make this the whole show. Like, this would be a whole show.
Yeah, I could go on forever.
Exactly.
I love it.
Right,
yep.
Exactly. We could go on forever talk about music, but thank you so much for coming on. It was
anytime,
a blast. Yeah, we're going to get to I guess we could take a break right here and come back, but thank you so much, Shaka, for coming on. I wish you could stay on the whole show. It's going to get,
let me shout out my site real quick so I can just give my little plug. The site is rapdad.co. Just type that in, it'll take you right there. If you want to find me on the internet, on Twitter, it's MF_dad, @ of course, MF_dad. If you want my site posts without the extra shit that I'm talking, then rapdadonline is the other Twitter for that. And pretty soon I'll just be on Medium as well writing, so, you know, just keep a lookout for me. My name is Shaka Shaw. So,
what's some future projects we should be looking out for?
Right now, I just signed in for the Medium partnership. So I used to post things every now and then on Medium. You know, sometimes I post it again on my website, sometimes not. But if you now they have this partnership where you can, you know, go on there and get paid for your traffic. So hopefully I can, you know,
go over
some writer's block, and I got a few pieces in the pipeline that I'm trying to write. So I'm going to be posting them on there, so you'll see those. I'll be tweeting out those as well. Just check me on there. Or just hit me up on Twitter.
The Rap Dad, he has, like, so many aliases. putting your Twitter name in, and it popped up, like, Rap Dad. I was like, yeah, he's had a whole lot of names. I don't remember. I think the first one I remember was Brick James.
I had so many. Because I would be on there saying a lot of stuff, and you know, sometimes you say, you know, you get your little darts off, and then somebody on like BuzzFeed or somebody grabs it and tries to post it, and then it's like, you know, people at work can see it, you know what I'm saying? So you got to change up, you know,
Yep.
Right.
Go
exactly.
Underground a little bit. So I think it's the last stop, though. I mean, I'm really trying to, like, amp up my public presence, and it's difficult to rebuild every time you change your name. So I think I'm going with MF Dad from now on for Twitter, and then the site is just rapdad.co. Just because it's changed up a little bit from my previous format. So
Shock is like the Puff Daddy of journalism.
I love it.
Yeah, it's like a brilliant name. I love it. Thank you so much for coming on. This is a fantastic conversation. I wish it had been longer. We got to get you on like a whole show talking about hip hop because I feel like
absolutely.
A lot of people would appreciate that. But thank you so much. Well, if you're ready, we can go to break and we can get into the Savvy Update.
All right, y'all.
Soul Savvy Show on Studio W.
Live treacherous, all the etceteras. To the death of us, me and my confidants. We shine, you feel the ambiance. Trying to get this rhyme. By the ounce, though, accumulates like snow. We don't just shine, we illuminate the whole show. You feel me? Factions from the other side would love to kill me. Spill 3 quarts of my blood into the street, let alone the heat. Fuck them, they hate it, looking up in his life. In all possible ways, know the feds is bugging my life. Hospital days, reflecting when my man laid up. On the uptown hot block, he got his side sprayed up. I saw his life slipping. This is a minor setback, yo, still in all we living. Just dream about to get back. That made him smile, though his eyes said, pray for me. I do you one better and slay these faithfully. Murder is a tough thing to digest. It's a slow process. And I ain't got nothing but time. I had near brushes, not to mention 3 shots, close range, never touched me. Divine intervention, can't stop by. I'm drinking my ties with Tata down in Nevada. Ha ha, bye bye. World life, I dabbled in crazy way. Without rap, I was crazy straight. Potting, I'm still spending money from 88. What? Make you and your whack mans fold like bad hands, roll like Monopoly. Advance, you copy me like white crystal. I gross the most at the end of the fiscal year than these could wish to. The dead presidential candidate with the sprinkles in the presidential ice that'll offend you in due time when crime flees my mind. All sneak thieves and player haters can shine. But until then, I keep the trillion cut diamond shining brilliant. I tell you half the story, the rest you fill it in. Long as the villain win, I spend Japan yen. The 10 major events catch me in the joints. Convince my iguanas is biting. J-A-Y hyping, controlling, manipulating. I got a good life, man. Pounds and pence, enough dollars make sense. Why you ride the bench? Catch me swinging for the fence. Dead presidents, you know.
Uh-huh.
Dead presidents to represent me. I'm out for 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 presidents to represent me.
So be it. The Soviet, the unified steady flow. You already know. You light, I'm heavy rope. Heavy dough, mic machete, your flow. Your paper falls slow like confetti. Mine's a steady grow, Betty go. Pray 5, then it will blow. Better believe I have 1160 to show. My dough flip like Tycoon. Jay-Z the icon, baby you like Dawn. Maybe this crystal's a change of life on. Roll with the winners, heavy spinners like hit records. Rockefeller, don't get it corrected. Perfected from chips, the chicks are stripping the Lexus. Naked without your gun, we taking everything you brung. We caking, you faking, we getting it done. Crime family, well connected, Jay-Z. And you fake thugs is unplugged like MTV. Got MD3, take your treasure, my pleasure. Dead presidential, politics is your jail. Bam!
Dead presidents to represent me. 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 I'm out for 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 presidents to represent me.
Hey, we're back. This is the Soul Savvy Show on Studio W The Buzz with EB and Q Land Green. Hey, what a great interview with Shaka. Loved it.
I know, right? That was Shaka's pick, actually. The theme of this week is hip hop songs with the best soul samples, and that one was from Jay-Z's Dead Presidents right there. Garden of Peace. That's the joint right there. So we're gonna be playing the best hip hop songs with the best soul samples throughout the show. If you tuned in late, we had music journalist critic/critic Shaka Shaw from the Rap Dad, founder of Rap Dad, formerly known as Front Free. He's phenomenal. I've been following him for a while, but yeah, he's always been dropping some gems in terms of hip hop. He gets really in depth. The way we talk about soul music is the way he talks about hip hop. And I always thought that was cool. And it's like the way he delves deep into those records like that and like really studies, music like that. That's the way me and EB talk about music, and I think it's cool. And yeah, you check out his website, like we said, rapdad.co. And yeah, we get to the savvy updates before we run out of time. Man, we have so many. If y'all didn't know, I guess I gotta give a disclaimer or something on this show that our producer likes to drink so often on there. So last week's show, we had a lot going on. Me and Tiffany had a lot going on last week. You know, with a producer that was, gave us the Pinot Grigio experience. If you saw the show we put up there, so we had a lot going on. But right now we have, two special guests on. We have back guests that they've been on the show. I know Julie's been on twice. But yeah, we got, Julie from Just Whip Products and, Tiffany Hamilton. Y'all familiar with Tiffany at this point. She's been on. So right. Much. She's family. She shouldn't even be a guest. She's family at this point. But
right.
Yeah.
Tiffany, how are y'all doing? Tiffany, you need to defend me.
Listen, you get Will.
Will was jamming with Fredo last week. I got to give him props. He was jamming.
Listen, we don't need you. Tiffany.
Thank you, Tiffany. I love you.
No, don't encourage none of this because he's going to get the courage to do this. We're going to get to you in just a second, Will. But, like I said before, I couldn't hear what you're saying because of somebody, got the juice loose out here. It's one juice loose, O.J. Simpson. We got another juice loose on the radio show. So we're going to get to you in just a second. Well, let me ask Julie and Tiffany how they doing. How are y'all been doing?
I'm good. I'm mad I'm in Shaka. He's coming with a dead president.
Mm-hmm. Hells yes. He's amazing. I was wanting him to stay on the whole show, but I think he had to go and do something. I'm not sure, but yeah. He was dropping gems out here. We were talking about streaming, and we got into a little hip hop conversation. We played the What's Wrong With You game with him. He won. I said I was going to retire. We'll get to this a little bit when we get to Savvy News, but I'm finally going to retire the Aretha versus Patty one in there when I, my opening question, like I'm going to retire that after Shaka was on Questlove Supreme, the way she broke it down. I got to retire it. And so Shaka topped the cherry on top of me ending that era because he went with Patty. So that's what I'm talking about. Mm. You know, he gave great explanations saying he don't really listen to Reach. That's what I'm talking about. Y'all know y'all don't rock
that's,
with it like
that's
that.
Because Shaka and I haven't sat together yet. And I haven't introduced him to the world of
talking,
Aretha Louise
right.
Franklin.
He was talking right, but
the whole government name.
Hilarious. But out of respect, I'm going to retire that one. And Shaka definitely put a great end to that era of that question because his answer was phenomenal.
Real quick. I was not ready for
Aretha. Hysterical.
The sample.
Oh, my
the
God.
Sample. They're my lifetime sample. I'm just saying, that's Aretha right there. You know what I mean? But we're going to go ahead and I'm going to just let that be. You know what I mean?
See, it's already sparking it up. I said I'm going to end it because I'm giving the respect because Shaka broke it, was dropping science on Questlove Supreme. I'm like, all right, I got to get rid of it now. But that was the last time I'm going to ask that one, and it ended with a bang. So We're going to read these updates. We're going to get straight to it. We're going to get to the one I was telling you about. Okay, excuse me, Beyonce fans. Y'all might, this listener that sent a question in, or not necessarily a question. It was more of a statement. It's not necessarily a question to EB. Y'all remember the show we were talking about the problems with stan culture, and, you know, we had Soul Savage Radio Therapy with EB. He talked a little bit how he felt, you know, about Beyonce and her marketing ability, and that, you know, a lot of this Black Girls Rock, you know, Black Lives Matter is more of a marketing ploy for you fans. And a lot of y'all didn't like that. One of them in particular, she didn't specify if she wanted me to say her name. So I have her name on here. Let me pull it up. It says, I find it funny that when Beyonce haters get on, they don't want to list her credentials and everything she's done to help girls in general to be inspirations. It says she has won many of Grammys. She has sold so many records, but yet she still doesn't get the respect she deserves.
Aww.
People like EB that make these claims with no facts to back behind it is just mindless gossip.
You know,
so maybe
what?
You
I
should
don't
pay
have to.
I'm not done.
Oh, yeah, let's
done.
Finish.
She
let's
wrote
finish.
A whole paragraph. She said, she's like, people, mindless comments. So EB should take the time to study the things she's implemented in the, hold on, I can't read, my eyes are going to look. It says he needs to read what she has implemented and done for the culture instead of trying to bash her. Maybe he should take some time to really listen to her full discography and pay attention to the things she's accomplished instead of making, what, no, that says saying, wait, hold on. She spelled it weird.
It sounds
so
like
I'm trying to. Saying,
she's a Beyonce fan, so of course her spelling's
a little.
It says
saying, instead of saying these things that are not fact-based about her, using, trying to relate to her fans with marketing. Or, I'm saying it wrong. It says, instead of trying to think that she's manipulating, that's what it says. Okay, it says, trying to manipulate her fans into believing that she's doing this for marketing. And it says, signed a pissed off fan. That's what it says at the end of it. So, a pissed off fan.
All right, well,
I don't want to put the email address name. It's just the email address name on there, but I don't want to put that out there. But it's a pissed off fan. It says, signed off, pissed off fan. So,
Let me respond to that.
If EB wants to expound on that, it was very hard. I usually spell check these things before I read it, because it was a lot of, not to throw shade on the pissed off fan. I'm not throwing shade or nothing. I'm just saying it was hard for me to read because you didn't put commas in there. So it was a lot of
running. Right. When emotions run high, that's what happens. That's okay.
Oh my God. I'm not going to hold that against you.
I'm not going to hold that against you at all, Miss Pissed Off Fan. But thank you for proving my point. You wrote this entire, almost illegible paragraph about what Beyonce has accomplished in her sales and her popularity with no mention of her artistry. You proved my point. Her marketing is working. She is a genius. What's next?
Oh, my God. Okay. It says, I'm going to go back and talk about the episode of Julie was on. It says they thought that it was, they were commenting on the episode of that one and the one Whitney and Haley was on, because they were asking the one, you know, the one they were saying, they quoted me. I'm trying to pull it up again because I didn't forgot what they said. It says, okay, it's quoted. It says Will Brown. It says Prince could learn a thing or two from Michael Jackson. And then it quotes me and says the only thing Michael can teach Prince was about those that belt collection.
See.
And the belt collection for those needles. And it says, how do y'all deal with her? That's the question posed to Julie. I guess to everybody.
Blasphemy.
To Julie,
this is pure blasphemy.
Whitney and Haley. They didn't say you will. They said they asked them, the ones that were listening to the debate, of how do they deal with me.
Is that another pissed off fan?
No.
Oh.
They were actually, well, I guess they were dissing both of us, because they didn't even even ask that to us. They were asking them.
Hmm.
I'm going to say this. I love it when you have people who are so passionate about certain artists and all shade, not because of their sales or the image and the glamour and the fan culture, but because of the music that they've produced. So when Q-Lin gets passionate about Prince, when Will gets passionate about Michael, I know it's because of the content of their artistry and what they're producing and not because of their visibility. I enjoy those type of conversations. Like I said, I'm either or on it. When it comes to certain things, I'm Team Mike. When it comes to certain things, I'm Team Prince. But I love when we can have those types of open and honest dialogue and have a little fun when, you know, getting into those little, you know, who's better, who did this better, because we're talking about real artists, not people who manipulate the minds of the masses for marketing purposes.
Right, it's all love. I'm not trying to be intentionally just, hopefully y'all can tell. A lot of y'all were laughing at it and were just calling me foolish. I don't appreciate those either. I kind of took offense to that. They were calling me foolish. It was a lot of those.
Yeah, no.
They were out. And then Will was trying to spark the debate, but they were just calling both of us foolish. So, but yeah, they asked Julie, it says, what did you think through that whole thing? That's what somebody asked. I want to think it's Natalie. Natalie G asked, or no, it says Natalie. What the hell is this? Oh, it's an emoji. I'm tripping. It just says Natalie on it. It was some kind of emoji. I can't. It's like a what's the pink one? What's that? What is that?
Outrageous.
So what did I think about the microphone?
I don't know, but yeah, I'm getting off top. I'm getting ADD. Is asking Julie, what did you think through that conversation when we were basically battling and doing the craziness? They basically asked.
I enjoyed it. It was organic. Y'all were both passionate for reasonable reasons. You know, it wasn't anything outlandish with your argument, so I enjoyed it, you know, and I'm a fan of both Michael and Prince, but if I had to choose just because, you know, where I was growing up, I'm a bigger Mike fan.
That's
right. Over both. They both died. I mean, it is what it is. I love
Prince. We're about to get muted. I appreciate that, but
I was a kid rocking little red Corvette. I'll never forget. There was a store called TGNY. And my mama bought me a little red Corvette pizza, you know what I'm saying? And I would rock the hell out of that shirt. I had no business knowing those lyrics, so. But that was my favorite Prince song growing up. But Mike was everything to me. Mike was my boyfriend. You know, I get excited to watch world premiere of Mike. So I enjoyed, you know, you guys going back and forth. It was nostalgic.
Yeah, it was all fun. Y'all know I rock with MJ, especially with that Off the Wall album, but it's just outrageous statements, you know. I gotta match that, cause you just can't say certain things to me and think we just gonna like, oh, we just gonna, you're a step past that. No, we gonna go, you know, I go off the rails a little bit. I used to be worse than this. If y'all thought that was that, I didn't know how to argue at all. So I was kind of reverting back to my old ways of just being ridiculous, cause y'all would think I was hyped up on drugs. Y'all probably think I'm hyped up on drugs now, the way I act on here, but it used to be, if y'all think this is terrible, I told y'all some stories, the little stories y'all gave me a lot of flack on that, the white women in the store conversation. Yeah, if y'all think that's terrible, I have way worse stories than that. Like, it gets worse from that. That's just the PG rated I could tell y'all, but that's why I gotta start another podcast and just do ancient stories, cause I have a lot of them, and I have like, you know, a Quran and Bible field of ancient things I've done in my life. So this is like cupcake compared to some of the stories I'll tell y'all one day. One day I might share. I might actually share one before we end the show.
Oh, no.
I might actually
this is a family broadcast.
But no, we're not. We're going to read one more before, because we're going to get to Tiffany's topic that we didn't get to because of somebody that was having a Pinot Grigio experience last week, so we didn't get to it, but I digress. But I'm going to read this one. This one is a little bit, I think is way a little bit more, okay, once Will gathers himself, I'll read it. Thank you, sir. Get it together. Okay, This one, I'm not going to, I start trying to get it out. We'll go mess me up. All right. Yeah, this one, I don't want to say, I'm not going to say the person's name because it, even though it was posted on the website, I did delete it because I didn't feel like it was meant for good. It seemed like it came from a negative space, so I deleted it, but this is I think I had screenshot it, so I'm pulling it up. Okay, this one is from the Karen White Show. It says, upon further review, the girl who is doing the most talking during the interview, why are you talking so much about other artists? That shit is mad amateur. You can reference other people, but damn, you're talking about her background vocals and have to go into talking about Tyrese's album from 3 years ago. You clog up the interview talking about what someone did or is doing. Pure amateurish. Ugh. Second, this is her second comment after this. It says, no shade, but she's not a legendary. That's what she said. It didn't say legend. It said legendary. No shade, but she's not a legendary. That's what it said. Can we stop blowing smoke people's ass? I think she meant to say, can we stop blowing smoke up people's ass? But it says, can we stop blowing smoke people's ass that ain't did shit? She was cool for the time, but please don't act like she's on the same level with the female artists of her time. No bueno. Okay, not so anonymous person, but I can see your email address and your name. Okay. Let me ponder this real quick, because I'm really good at this. Okay, it says, I took it as disrespect. Now, let me preface it real quick. I would say that I've been on the internet for a while, almost over 10 years. So any outrageous thing that somebody said to me, it was said to me. I don't get really hyped up about trolls and stuff like that. Used to, I would go back and forth with people. That's what I used to do, roast people. You know, that's what it was, just go back and forth making jokes. I used to be that person, say mean shit, disrespectful shit to people that said mean shit to me. But this one, I'm going to analyze it and really get to the bottom of this, because it's interesting when these kind of comments I see, because they kind of lack in, I can pretty much tell you, lack in comprehension a little bit and really paying attention to good conversations, because that whole interview, as a professional journalist, you can tell when your job is to be observant and to tell when a conversation is going bad. Because you can tell, I can tell over the phone or if we're in person if the conversation is going bad, because that's what you're supposed to do. You know, sometimes it's not even you. It's just they were in a bad mood. I've never experienced that, but you can tell when you watch some interviews if they're going good or not. But that one, I would say the Karen White interview was pretty fantastic. I think that's one of my top best interviews. So it's interesting when I see these comments, because first off, I could tell that you didn't listen to the entire interview because of the irrelevance of what you picked on didn't make any sense, because you say right here, it says, why are you talking so much about other artists? That shit is mad amateur. You can reference other people, but damn, you're talking about her background vocals and have to talk about Tyrese's album from 3 years ago. Actually, it was 2 years ago. It wasn't 3 years ago. That's fact one. Second fact is, in the conversation, I could tell you didn't listen to the entirety of the interview because you probably skipped through it a little bit. You probably didn't even, because it was a pretty lengthy interview. It was about an hour long, so you probably didn't listen to it in its entirety. So when I read that right there, you picked the most irrelevant thing from that interview. I don't know one professional journalist that doesn't reference something when they're talking to somebody. Questlove does it at least 57 times when he's talking to somebody. Like, he was talking to Shaka and referenced Miles Davis. He referenced her background singers. He referenced... And Karen White, actually, if you listen to the entirety of the interview, Karen White actually gave me EB props for even giving love to background singers. She actually enjoyed that part. So, and the third fact is that I spent at least 3 seconds mentioning that. And I could tell you skipped through it because the reason why I referenced Tyrese's album was because I was making a statement, actually. I wasn't asking a question. That's how I know you don't understand statements versus questions either, because I was making a statement before we went to break. I said, Karen White, Karen, I appreciate that when I go back and look at your albums, I can actually see musicians and background singers on your album because that's so rare today. And then I made a reference to Tyrese's album. I said, it's slowly coming back to soul music now, which is a fact. Because I mentioned Tyrese had Jennifer Hudson and Tank as background vocalists on his album. That's what the reference was. I don't know if you skipped past that part, but that's what the reference was that I was mentioning Tyrese's album because he had background vocalists that were already established on the album. I don't think that's why I'm not going in as because I feel like you were confused on what we were talking about. And also, just analyzing this, you also follow up and saying you clog up the interview. That's the thing. I think Mark had put something on his page earlier, and I saw it about people that, you know, that feel like they can give advice, you know, to the people. It says, I think he said critical people often need an outlet to disguise their insecurities. And, you know, and that's what they do. They get on these sites and they have some kind of negative energy about themselves or insecurity about themselves, they go on to other people's sites and make these kind of statements without anything supporting what they say. So that's why I didn't take offense to it. But I think the only two things that I took is disrespect that you didn't even have the audacity to call me by my name. You said the girl that's doing the most. Like, my name is as clear as day in the post. I don't know why you couldn't reference my name. And then you said, jeez, you didn't even call Karen White by name. That's why I'm taking disrespect. But just to follow it up, you said pure amateurs. But like I said, people that are critical of other people that are doing stuff. I just want to let you know, you logged on to my website. Soul Savviness is completely my brand, as well as this radio show. I'm partnered with Studio W Buzz, but everything related to Soul Savviness is mine. And so, yeah, I don't do things the typical way professional journalists do, but I'm still a professional out here. Like, you know, I don't sit and, you know, brag about my credentials, but if you log onto that website, you see clear as day, you know, the people I've interviewed, and I haven't had a bad interview in my life. And I would give you some tips that a professional knows when a conversation is going good and when it's going wrong. And that conversation went very well. And another thing about being a professional is knowing your craft. And I would think you saying that she's not a legend, I would suggest to you to dig a little legendary bit deeper and research. Right, exactly. For you to say she's not a legend. I think it was Tiffany that mentioned before that, or I think somebody that was on the show that said that it's so okay if you don't like that artist, but to say they're not legendary, now that's when you have to be corrected. If you were to listen to the entirety of the interview, we listed all the people she's written for and the hits she made at that time period. The reason why she stands out from her contemporaries is because she was the only female artist in that period that was writing songs, hit songs, and had her own hit albums out at the same time. That was rare. Jody Watley maybe had a couple songs, but she was the main one that I seen first debut album. She has all her songwriter credits. So that means any time that she gets publishing checks to this day, back to back checks. So when you get checks like that, you always, and then she talked about how Dionne Warwick, Patti LaBelle, sing Superwoman. She has legendary people that sing her songs. She has younger artists that perform her songs in concert. She talked about LaToya Luckett, if you were to listen to the interview. So I don't know what your definition of legendary is, but one that has influence. And if you can influence other legends to believe in you and listen to your song and actually sing your songs in concert and on tour, that's legendary to me. And I would question everything about your musical palette. And from, I'm not, like I said, I'm not going to put your email address out there, but you're definitely old enough to know better. So I'm not going to go in like that, but I would just say, if you're going to comment on somebody's page, come with some real facts, come with real fact-based observation. Don't just say, just throw negative shit out there just because. But we're going to move on from this. I appreciate the comments.
Wait.
It's actually a backhanded compliment, actually, because you actually got on my website. Right, go ahead, E.B.
Could I please, I'm only going to take a minute and 20 seconds to do this. I'm actually setting a timer so I don't go over, and I'm going to start now. So this speaks a lot to what Shaka was discussing earlier about in music today, people not doing the research and not knowing about the craft and where things come from. I can tell this is a Beyonce fan because it wasn't a visual album or a title exclusive release, and they didn't understand. They weren't able to follow along. When speaking with someone who is a legend like Karen White is, of course you have to go into her background vocals and her producers and her writers and what she's written for other people, because as a professional and as a true artist, these are things that she studied. This is how and why she talks about people like Dionne Warwick or Natalie Cole, because she got this from other artists and she passes along that particular knowledge. That is what keeps music, R&B, hip hop, what has whatever genre, it's what keeps it alive, is pulling from the past. To call or to say that Q-Lynn was unprofessional because she acknowledged those things tells you that you didn't do your research. As a journalist, what you do is your research, and Q-Lynn absolutely did that. Maybe if you put down the Beyonce, you will be able to follow. And my minute is up.
Thank you so much, E.B. Yeah.
You're welcome.
And I'll also say, I'm trying to figure out how she did. This is how I know she intently, or whoever the person is, intently came on there to be negative, because it's no illusion that this post was about Karen White. It says it in the title, clear as day, interview, Karen White. So you were trying to find something negative, and you picked the most irrelevant thing in that conversation. The Tyrese, she acts like I talked about Tyrese for 30 minutes. Like, I briefly mentioned him. Like a quick mention, and we went to break right after that. That's why she intently came on there to. That's why it's funny to me, because it's like you had nothing negative, you had nothing positive to say about Karen White when you clicked on that link, because it says clear as day, Karen White. So you had, I guess you had to get that off your chest. I would just say opinions like that. Your opinions never flourish, because it's nothing but negativity, and it'll never rise to the top. It's never going to be your opinion is never going to be the cream of the crop, because you don't know your Googles. You don't know, you know, research, those things and what legends are. You know what I mean? So, and you know, the only reason why.
All the single ladies.
But yeah, we're going to move on before we run out of time. I appreciate the comment. So it's actually a backhanded compliment, because you probably didn't think I was going to read it. And you probably think I have like 50, you know, interns or something. No, this is me, baby. This is me. Like it ain't, I got maybe 3-4 staff members that run this. Like anything that gets approved, a comment on there, I'm going to see it. So y'all should be very careful. I would just say tread on. You know, because other shows, if you do this on other shows, because, you know, some people like trolling and they do this on every podcast or radio show, they leave comments like this. I would tread lightly, because if you go somewhere else, they might cuss you out. So that's just a heads up, because I'm being very nice, because I like, you know, dissecting things and getting to the root of issues. So I would tread lightly doing this on other people's pages if this is your thing, because a lot of people will cuss you out. And I'm not far removed from that, so don't try me. Anybody else that gets any ideas that I'm this Gandhi, you know, we shall overcome energy, because that shit, like Erykah Badu said, that shit would quickly change to a Newport and a Colt 45. You dig what I'm saying? So don't try me. Period. Okay, we'll move on.
So in other words, she's not your superwoman, you hater.
Oh, boom.
Burn.
There we go. Burn. There we go. We're going to move on. Yeah, I appreciate every comment. I appreciate positive.
I appreciate it.
I appreciate all of it. So don't
I'm glad
think
you're
I
listening.
Just, everybody says something negative on here. Like, we had, I had an ultimate Prince hater on the show and didn't lose my mind. Like, she's still family. I didn't ostracize her from the family. You get what I'm saying? She,
right.
I take more disrespect for that than anything. And that's family. Keep talking like this on this show. So, I could deal with negativity or people that don't agree with what I say, you know, in terms of music. But as long as you come respectfully, I can get what you're saying musically. But if you just come out here just on, you know, just ridiculousness, we gotta check it. So we move on to the topic and talk about, Tiffany, get to this fake outrage. Expound on that a little bit more before we leave. Let's talk about the fake outrage if you want to get into it. Tiffany still on? Is her Metro PCS still booming out here?
You know,
is it good?
Tiffany, don't let her do you like that.
Right.
Oh, you're still on. I didn't say, I think that was Eric. I thought Eric took over the mic. I don't think that was me that time. He does a great impersonation of me. Go ahead.
But yeah, as far as what the lady was saying, man, please. Like I said, everybody and their mamas want to, look, I'm a Beyonce stan, okay? When it comes to Beyonce, I love everything B, but we have to realize that people are going to have opinions regardless. You feel me? Like, that's what part of our job is that we're supposed to uncover what is or what is not, you know.
Oh, boy.
Whatever the news is, okay? This is just what we're supposed to do.
Oh, boy.
What's the fake outrage? Let's get to the fake outrage. What's the
that lady,
context
look,
behind that?
The fake outrage is that lady being mad about Beyonce. People,
that's hilarious.
People, they pick and choose what they want to be extra upset about, but then real issues they're not. Like, people are fake mad about, you know, people coming at Beyonce. They're fake mad about people, you know, talking crap about the Black Panther movie or whatever. Which, if you're coming as a Black Panther movie, you need to get cussed out. But the reality of the situation is the fact that there's not white people on the cast. People are fake outraged about that. But they're not mad at the fact that the real issue that Trump just cut Obamacare, which will leave millions of Americans without health insurance. They're not mad
Hello.
At the fact of Harvey Weinstein literally legally having the ability to sexually assault women who want to make it in their career. But they ain't mad about that, though. They want to be mad because we finally got a movie with all black cast and all black everything. You know what I mean? Like, that's what fake outrage is. And I'm really over people having that type of situation.
What do you think about it, Julie?
She just hit the nail on the head with that. So not just Harvey with the sexual stuff, but Trump himself. You know, we elected the man who said, grab him by the, you know, I'm trying to not say it, but we know what he said. And then the outrage, I'm outraged because we still don't know what happened over there when those Green Berets were killed. You know, and why do we have so many soldiers over there? Because that's not our issue. That's a Russian
exactly.
thing that's going on over there. But, you know, they're not talking about that. They're not outraged about that. Or she hit on health care, you know, with the ACA being dismantled, destroyed. Or let's look at DACA, what's going on with DACA. I'm a professor of political science. I have students that are going to be affected by that, you know. And I have to explain to the other students what's really going on. Every day is something. Right now, you know, here in Houston, you would think people would be outraged about these suburbs and how they're being treated post-Harvey, but they're not talking about that. They'd rather debate and be outraged because one of the top, I mean, he's amazing, Trey, what Trey's doing for the community with the rebuilding, they're outraged because his records aren't played on the radio. He's not worried about that right now, so why are you worried about that? Why aren't you worried about Dickinson, Texas, where the ACLU has had to step in because in order to get aid, they're making people swear that they won't protest against Israel. What the hell? What does that have to do with the price of tea in China? You know, that's what we need to be outraged about. You know, you got a Miami Dolphins football player just got a settlement because of what happened to him on a police stop. That's why they're kneeling. Be outraged about the real deal and not this fluffy stuff. I don't know. People just, they extra. I think they outraged just for the attention, honestly.
honest. Exactly. And that's just my issue with everything. It's just crazy to me. And not to, like, pinpoint everything, but it's, like, always, it's, like, the stuff we're supposed to be mad about, people are not mad about, or they don't see it as a big deal because they either take part in it or they're, like, I guess, apologists for it, like, specifically, like, with rape culture and with, you know, police brutality, like you said on that, but specifically with rape culture, it's like, you know, because they have a friend that talks like that to other women and make other people uncomfortable, they like, oh, and they say these crazy things like, boys will be boys, or men will be men. Like, no, you need to check your friend. Like, what kind of person hangs around people like that? That does, and it's just the complacency in society, period. I feel like that's the real issue, and if we could get past that, that would solve a lot of issues, but it's more of, we get stuck in these conversations of, well, you know, if you only do that because you're not that turned off by it, because if it's a cute dude doing it to you, like, no, like, just because they think because a few women they know do it, that's, like, generalizes every woman in the world that wants to be harassed. Like, no, it's just goofy shit that people say like that drives me crazy. And then also with, I guess, to kind of talk about Christianity, it's like I feel like they worry about the wrong stuff in church. And it's like the whole point of it is like to be a service, you know, be one of God's helpers and be a service to people and helping out the homeless. And I feel like they could, the most money they put in, they could actually, you know, do something with that and help the people in the community. But they'd rather sit and make whole sermons about how somebody's dressing and who's sleeping with who's shacking up with somebody and all these random ass conversations and talking points. Yeah, but it's like, to me, it's like, you know, and then that pastor, somebody that goes to church there is like a child molester or a rapist or somebody that, you know, cheats. Like, if it's somebody there, they'll cover that up. And they're like, oh, we got to be loyal to that. Like, no, you have to hold them accountable. Like, it just drives me crazy that they'll be more for somebody talking about homosexuals, but they won't talk about the rapist that sits in the front pew or whatever. You know what I mean? It's just weird stuff like that nobody wants to talk about because they're like, oh, we'll just pray for them. Like, no. Like, if you're going to call somebody out, like, call them out for doing, like, actually wrong stuff. But it's like, that's why, you know, I feel like it's so frequent in the communities and why the black community deals with that and depression and rapists and, you know, like, child molesters in the family, like, incestual stuff, you know, with uncles touching nieces and you know, stepdads and fathers and mothers, whoever, molesting children, because nobody wants to address that. But that same person will go to church every Sunday and try to act like they're righteous, but yet you let unrighteous stuff happen in your household. And it's just like, people get mad at the wrong stuff and it just drives me crazy. And I feel like if more people, like if they feel like if they have somebody that's a rapist or a child molester in that family, that you have to be loyal to that family member. If there's a child molester or rapist in my family, that's no longer my family member. And that's, I don't feel any way about that. And I don't flinch when I say that. And I feel like that's not a common thought for everybody. It's just like with the mother that raises a juvenile, the person that's a criminal, and they sit and baby that child, whether it's a boy or a girl, they'll baby that child and say, oh, no, it wasn't them, it's somebody else, or if their kid was acting up, it's the teacher's fault. No, it's actually you. And it's like crazy stuff like that happens, and it's like, you know, with rape culture, I feel like that's a part of it as well. Like, you, like, advocating for these people and basically co-signing it. And I feel like if you stand with, like Dick Gregory said, if you lay down with somebody dirty and that's nasty, you just as dirty as nasty as them to me. And I don't feel like that should be a thing, a gray area. I feel like it's some things that are black and white. Yeah, there's complicated situations, but when it comes to, like, somebody doing, like, stuff like that, rapists, like, when you can pinpoint it and say that, like, people that fetishize children, everybody should be a, you know, anonymous decision of, yes, that's wrong. But no, people like, oh, but what if that's your uncle? Like, fuck, if that's my uncle, like, he's fucked up. Like, how hard is that to say that? But that's just my opinion. I don't, I don't flinch when I, if it's somebody fucked up, I, thankfully I don't have anybody in my family that does that, but if it was, that wouldn't be my family member anymore. And I would never talk to that person again. If they were in jail or prison, I'm not visiting you or whatever. That's just my opinion.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, may I say something?
On a serious nature,
and I think Tiffany, I think you brought this point out. Was it phony outrage, or what was the term that you used?
Fake outrage.
Fake outrage. Folks, that would, we're dealing with moral prostitution. Moral prostitution. Moral and political prostitution. We're trying to make sense out of nonsense, and the people that we are talking about that are in power have no conscience. You have to understand, they have an agenda. They have an agenda. Where's the outrage still? I'm still upset about Charlottesville, Virginia, when you have these clowns walking around with torches. Where's the outrage about that? This makes absolutely no sense to me.
Because, like I said, they co-sign that. It'd be different. It's like I said, with people that have rapists in their family, they just, you know, they'll say, oh, it's somebody else. It's like a lack of accountability all the way around. Nobody wants to be accountable for anything. Nobody wants to stand up. As long as it doesn't affect their circle, they'll go to church every Sunday, and they can go there and go watch a football game after that and still do the same thing. And if somebody asks them, hey, can you go volunteer at this charity or do this? Like, no, you know, I got to go to work and all this other stuff. None of that's being done. As long as you talk about, you know, homosexuality or whatever in the church, they'll be like, oh, well, I don't agree with that lifestyle, but, you know, that, you know, whatever. They're like him and haw on that, but it's just crazy to me what people pick and choose to be outraged about. And it's like the stuff, you worry about other people's households, but you don't want to affect the change. And it's a lot of people that throw stuff out there and make a lot of statements, but don't want to be about the action they want to see. And it's a difference.
It's not even, I mean, well, still like low key on fake outrage, but I mean, it's probably, I know I probably miss Raggedy People News, but Hazel E, you know, her colorism comment, that's one thing, but then also, what she did as far as her, comments in regards to homosexuals as well. Now, she, like, flaunted all last season or the season beforehand, I can't remember, but anyway, that she, you know, the dude, what's his name, Milan, and then the other guy that came out with her best friends, and she loved them, and Blase Skippy, but then her man, who really needs to come out the closet, you know, gets questioned, his sexuality gets questioned, because everybody really knows he is gay, and he says he hates the F-bombs, and then she proceeds to comment, they're needing to burn in hell, like it says in the Bible. Now, my real outrage comes from people like that, whether it's dealing with homosexuals, whether it's dealing with, you know, black folks, whatever. Don't be like, oh, my best friend is, like, you an ally, and then be a hater, you know what I'm saying, in real life. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, that whole living a double life type of situation is so getting played out. Like, that's another thing that people need to be outraged about, because a lot of the fake outrage comes from those type of people where they're only mad because it's popular, but the reality of the situation is that they really don't give a, I was about to say an F word, but they really don't care. They really don't care at all about the issue. They're just mad because it's popular to be mad right now. That's the fad. You know what I'm saying?
I hope you write a book.
Yeah, exactly.
Tiffany, I hope you write a book called Fake Outrage. Fake Outrage. That should be a book.
Hilarious.
Right.
Yeah. The fake out with Hazel Lee, I didn't see all the comments, so I saw briefly on there. I saw people's tweets on it. I saw a little bit of it. But yeah, it's like people like her, they probably say, you know, I got a gay best friend, all that stuff. And just like with the Real Housewives, like they, you know, appropriate their culture, steal the words because they see it on Twitter. They saw people saying the words and doing snipey comebacks with watching the show. And so they steal all that when they see it, like NeNe and all of them. They'll take those words because she used to say, like, a lot of homophobic stuff. I think it was, who was it that was on there? And she was saying something crazy about them. And then she had to go and apologize for NeNe.
Ain't no telling, but don't.
She probably really thinks like that. Well, but yeah, she probably really thinks like that.
She needs to
needs to get her life together, because any woman that tells someone, I hope you're raped by your Uber driver.
Right, exactly.
She need to get that Barbie-haired weave done, because the reality in the situation is it must be on too tight, because she's doing way too much.
Right, exactly. And, yeah, that was a great topic, fake outrage, because, man, it's a lot of people that do that. And you can tell who's fake or outraged by, like, you know, they'll, it'd be, like, something, like, insignificant, like, with that whole Issa Rae. You remember when we talk about the Issa Rae, when she said, I'm rooting for all the black people, and all the white people came out like, oh, this
fake
is
outrage.
Racism.
Exactly.
Like, what? Like, get out of here. And then they have, like, the most stupid arguments to go with, like, this is reverse racism. Like, what are you talking about? Yeah.
I mean,
I'm sorry
if there's white people listening, but the majority of fake outrage, like, 95% of the fake outrage.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, pretty much. But, yeah, they'll get mad at that, but they won't get mad at, like Will said, those tiki torches, all the people in Charlottesville. They don't get mad at that because usually you get, that's a telltale sign of that. You for that. That's why I said about rape culture. It all intersects some way. If you silent about that, or you probably, you agree with it, whether you want to admit it or not, you agree with it.
Yep, you're right.
And your point of view. But we at the end of the show. I was wanting to talk a little bit about Tiffany's show. She she's a co-host on The Sip, because we didn't get to finish our conversation before we was hit with that Emmy music last week. But if she could talk a little bit about that, and how did you get on that show? I mean, how did that connection start with you being a regular co-host on there?
Well, what it is the show is actually the brainchild of Michael Brandon Harris. He wanted to have like basically a sit down with him and his friends in the beginning, just talking about regular stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like pop culture and things like that. Well, it developed because a lot of people were tuning in, and someone gave him the idea that it should be a show, to where he actually handpicked like a cast, to where this is what he wanted the people to gel and things like that. So he had mentioned to me, because he had saw some posts that I was getting a lot of traffic on, and he saw, you know, my opinion on stuff, and he had approached me about, like, hey, let's try this out and see if this will work. So I did one show, and then, you know, we did really good. So from that point on, he just wanted me to be on the show. But, I mean, everybody that's on there, Cindy, Shatoya, Ajafar, Michael, like, the way we gel together, it's freaking crazy, because it's like we've all been friends forever, but I legit just met everybody except for Ajafar within the last couple of months. So,
really?
So it's a really dope show. I think it's a really dope concept of what he's doing, because it's, everybody's had a talk show, but to have one that's like unapologetically black, and on top of that, it's a lot.
Y'all gotta get into it. It's hilarious. I watched one show. Yeah, it's hilarious. I was trying to it before I got here. Y'all talking about Nene actually in her comments. At her comedy, which I don't understand why somebody's booking her for comedy shows anyway, because what? But I heard y'all saying she didn't know Paul Mooney. Well, I'm like, how do you not know who Paul Mooney is?
Right.
Who are you?
That's what I said. I'm going to need her to get a life, because...
And Paul Mooney was so funny on his...
Blast.
That was hilarious what he said on there. That was so funny.
He did. He blasted out something ridiculous. And, I mean, because she was on an escape tour, so it wasn't like she was booked as a comedian. But I don't know.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, but so Tiffany Haddish was the comedian on the show, so I guess that made Nene think. You know, have you ever had a friend that you have your funny friend, but when your funny friend's around, the non-funny friend tries to become the funny friend, and it's like not that hilarious? That's Nene. So,
yes, absolutely. She's getting a bonus. We didn't do Raggedy People or Savvy News this week because we were talking. We had such a great conversation with Shaka. We went over spending all the time talking to him. It was a great conversation. But just for that, she needs to be in Raggedy People News. Not just for the rape Uber joke, but for not knowing who Paul Mooney is. You need additional Raggedy People. She's a bonus Raggedy People News for not knowing who Paul Mooney is. Get out of here.
Exactly.
And quit doing comedy because you're terrible at it. But yeah, we're at the end of the show. And, I know he got something he has going on later this evening, but I just want to say Tuesday night in Irving, Texas / Dallas, I went to the Toyota Music Factory, went to that show with Robert Glasper, Eric Badu, Bilal, Oh my God, it was incredible. They had a 50-piece orchestra. It was a symphony of Roop songs, and my life was blessed. And I almost ran into Chaka Khan and almost freaking lost my mind. I saw a glimpse of her before I started walking that way. And I was already a little bit into some extracurricular activities that I want to blast on the airwaves. And I was lit out there. So I was a little bit having a little panic attack slightly when I saw her. And she, oh my God, I almost freaking panicked. I'm like, it's crazy how energies are. Cause you remember we were talking about the Questlove show, right? And I was talking about how like Chaka Khan, I Know You, I Live You, and talking about that's my favorite drum arrangement, right? And so he did that song in the show. Like, it was crazy. And then almost running into her, like, listening to the Questlove show, and then almost running into her backstage. Like, I was going to see, my friend was like, why didn't you go? I'm like, I wasn't ready. That was too much. And it was like, I was going to, like, I don't want to be that fan. Like, I never have fan moments, because but I almost had a fan moment. I almost peed on myself, because it was, like, it was legitimately, like, a legend in front of me, and I almost lost it. Like, it's going to happen again, but that moment I wasn't ready because I didn't know she was going to be there, for one. That was a surprise guest, but yeah. If you didn't go to that show, you missed out a blast. I don't know if that lineup is ever going to happen again, but if you didn't go to that Dallas show, that Urban Texas show, then you missed out because it was incredible. It was a great show, but Evie, tell them what you're doing later on tonight.
Yeah, if you're in Brooklyn, if you're anywhere in New York City, I don't call it DJing because I have so much respect for DJs, will never call myself one, but I will be playing my vinyl alongside two great DJs. So I have, a selection of about 70 vinyl albums right here that I'm packed up and I'm ready to go. So stop by Tip Top tonight in Bed-Stuy. I'll be playing some vinyl, some disco, some funk, some boogie.
There we go. Yeah, I told that last week. He was actually moonlight. The reason why he was gone last week is because he's actually, like I said last week, he's moonlighting as an Uber driver, and he was having a listening session for his gospel EP, Fishnet Condoms, and he about to circulate that in the club as well. So he already
looking
for that Fishnet Condoms EP. It's about to be popping out here.
Y'all crazy for that.
It happened that fast.
I told you, EB. EB, I told you.
Hey,
EB. EB.
Fishnet Condoms about to be popping out here in these streets. He about to go to Brooklyn tonight, and he going to be having that gospel EP mixed in with the Shocker.
Y'all crazy.
EB.
Y'all crazy.
Julie, let them know where they can find you on social media, and Tiffany, you can do that as well.
You can find me on Instagram. If you're looking for the product Just Whip, that's the Instagram name, Just Whip. We sell all kind of body butters, hair products. We're getting ready to launch a new website, do a real thing for 2018. We have some new beard and bougie t-shirts coming out. Eric, I'm going to have to sing you one on the house.
Send one to California also. Send one to California. Don't forget your engineer.
Hilarious. He want a Pinot plug. That's what he really saying, Julie. He wants you to, that's code word for get that Pinot Grigio sponsorship happening for us and get us a plug for that. That's what that code word. But Tiffany, let them know where they can find you on social media.
Sorry, Julie. Go ahead.
No, hey, Julie, she's talking about Pinot. She has that brown liquor.
Well, we so captivated talking about your liquor. Go ahead, Julie. We ain't going to get you into this mess. Go ahead, Julie.
A Southern Jewel, A-S-U-T-A-D-R-N-J-U-L-E on Twitter. That's it.
Sorry about that. Hey. Will just jumped in and just drives me crazy. Go ahead, Tiffany. Sorry about that, Julie. Go ahead, Tiffany.
TFFA Sarita on everything. That's IG, Twitter, Facebook. The Sip Live on Instagram, Facebook, and then because Twitter was hating the Sip Live one. Catch us every Monday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 Eastern, live on Facebook.
Quickly, throw y'all savvy heathen talk out there. Just say something that's on your mind. Just throw something out there real quick before we go.
It's only costing you $1,000 a minute. That's all.
Yeah, since you were drunk on the show last week, I get an extra 5 minutes, actually. So go ahead, y'all. Y'all throw y'all savvy heathen talk out there. Y'all throw y'all savvy. Throw it out there real quick before he play the music. Come on, hurry up. Throw it out there. Throw savvy heathen talk.
All right, I'm going to go. I actually love and appreciate Beyonce, but she's trash.
Ah, hilarious. Oh. Y'all got one? Tiffany, Julie, you got one? You got one real quick?
No, I can't think right now.
Okay, love y'all.
After you said Beyonce was trash, my mind was blown.
Oh, I know
what. I have a request.
Go ahead, Julie.
I have a request. The next time I'm on, I need y'all to rate like your favorite Houston rapper or.
Oh,
now that I can do.
I can do that.
Houston has something.
Oh, that's a good one.
So I want y'all to check out my city. This is my adopted home, so show it some love.
Oh, we'll do that. And my savvy heathen talk is fish net, fish net. He's sampling Fourth Day tonight with that fishnet EP right there. Y'all check that out. Fishnet condoms. He got the Morse Day
and with that.
Sample in there. The fish net, black panty hoes.
Man. You know, speaking of cutting off mics. Oh my goodness.
Soul Savage Radio people, every Friday, 5 to 7 Pacific time, 8 to 10 Central time. I'm getting it wrong. 7 to 9 Central time, 8 to 10 Eastern time, every Friday. Y'all check out the Soul Savage Radio show, and we're going to talk about Pinot Grigio experience next week.
Uh huh. And we're talking about the real person that's drinking on this show. Q-Lan? Somebody told me there's a lawsuit coming, okay? For a case of...
No, there ain't no lawsuit coming.
Yes.
We're going to talk about that next week.
Yes, we will. for a case of Pinot Grigio and, you know, time served.
Hilarious. Y'all have a good night, y'all. Peace out.
Good night, y'all. Was a hustler, so she lied him. Looked at the jury, how can they judge him? She screamed.
In a chest, a face with tears, had a man's back, he was facing years, in her name, though the place was his, they trying to take everything except the kids, for years she been through scuffling fights, while he trying to hustle that white, up all night, wondering if he's alive, seeing him try, she bubbled inside and screamed, judge yelled for order, court reporter making her words shorter. His lawyer sat next to him. She could see how the trial was affecting him. It hurt for her eyes to connect with him. Using her lies for protecting him. They arrested him for murder and gun possession as they read back her confession.
Well, basically, we got a tip that Mr. Washington might be involved in these two deaths.
You've been listening to the Soul Savage Show here on Studio W.
Kilos of cocaine.
The Buzz, your global radio network. Stay tuned. And make sure you tell your friends to download that app, IMG2, IMG, the number 2. Or you can go directly to our website, www.studiow.buzz. Hey, coming up shortly, Braxton's back. You know, all month we are recognizing breast cancer awareness, so stay tuned. It will be a great, informative, enlightening show. Also, coming up December 1st and December the 2nd, Chicago Port 50. Broadway is coming to the Inland Empire. That's the IE, Chicago Port 50. You want to make sure... that you attend this event. This is Broadway again coming to the IE. And it's a story, intriguing story. You can look it up, check it out, Google it, Chicago Port 50. Because at the Rialto High School, December 1st, December 2nd, there will be a magnificent, magnificent stage performance about this very, very historical, topic that we're speaking of and play. So, much more than entertainment, you want to come out and check it out. That's December 1st and December 2nd. And this is hosted and directed by Mayor Deborah Robertson. For tickets, contact us at studiow.buzz, studiow.buzz. We'll come up with more, give you more information lately. I mean, coming up shortly. And that's Chicago Port 50 Rialto. Hey, check that website. Chicago Port 50 Rialto. December 1st, December 2nd. You don't want to miss that. Okay, this is Studio W, The Buzz. Continue to listen. Enjoy your night. Coming up, Braxton's Back with Adrian Braxton, Catrice Kobe Lover Mitchell. Okay, and they have a special guest.
Do you recall the night? That very, very special night. Do you remember a girl?